As we said earlier, you get me today, so just bear with me. I think we have a wonderful message today, so perfect. That is exactly what we're going to talk about. The power of a transformed life. That is a beautiful thing, and you'll hear all about it. But before we get started, let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, living, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Today, open our hearts to hear from you. Let the message of your grace and mercy not only touch our minds, but transform our lives. Holy Spirit, move among us. Draw the lost to Christ and strengthen the saved. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So today's message, my message is mostly going to be referencing Romans, with the exception of two readings out of Matthew. So, but before I get started, I want to share a story with you. It's from my childhood. Kind of cute. But anyway, my mom, one day I was in a house and I was in the sewing room with my mother. She was sewing. She was just patching knees on pants and sewing up elbows on shirts. And at one moment she looked at me and she said, "Brian, I had a dream the other night, and I dreamt you were preaching in front of people in a church." So, who says dreams don't come true? So, Mom, this one's for you. All right. Grace that transforms. Grace is one of the most powerful words in our Christian faith. It is God's unearned, unmerited, and undeserved favor. Grace is what brought Jesus Christ to the cross. Grace is what forgives us. It is what transforms us from who we were to who God created us to be. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul unfolds the beauty of grace like no other letter. He shows us that not only what grace does for us, forgiving our sins, but also what grace does in us, changing our lives from the inside out. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means!" Exclamation mark. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Paul is very clear. Grace is not a license to keep living as we used to. Grace is the power that enables us to live differently. Today, we look at how grace, God's grace, not only saves us, but empowers us to live a transformed life. We will see three key truths from Romans. Number one, grace delivers us from the power of sin. Two, grace calls us to walk in the newness of life. And lastly, number three, grace empowers us to live a surrendered, spirit-filled life. So let's break this down. Grace delivers us from the power of sin. Grace is not permission to sin. When Paul preached grace, some accused him of making sin sound irrelevant. "If grace covers everything," they said, "why not just keep sinning?" Paul's answer is passionate. As I said earlier in Romans 2, "By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it any longer?" The grace that forgives is also the grace that frees us. How many of you have heard the term cheap grace? This term best describes Christians that use grace as an excuse to do and say whatever they want. My biggest pet peeve about cheap grace is when we as Christ followers use profanity like it's no big deal. We live in a world where Satan wants us to believe that the F-bomb is just a word. Just go use it. So, talk it, say it. Nobody cares. Well, actually, it is a big deal. Our Lord has given us direction in that regard. In Matthew 15:11, it states, "What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." What we say reveals the condition of our heart. Do our words reflect a mindset of crude and sexual things, or a mind and a heart set on Christ? Another one, you're in a grocery store. You pay for your purchase, you give the gal $10, she gives you 10 to change for a 20. Now, a lot of people go, "Woohoo, I'm out of here." But that's not grace. True grace, true Holy Spirit in you will speak to your heart and say, "No. You need to tell the girl she's given you the wrong change. She gave you a 20, you only give her a 10. That's grace. And lastly, another example is another one that is pretty pretty serious. And that is, as Christians, we have a hard time forgiving people who harm us or have said something or hurt us. And you just feel that, "Oh, I'm not going to forgive them. I don't have to forgive them. I can just be mad and carry this." Well, two things happen with that. Number one, you're not forgiving the person to make them feel better. You're actually forgiving the person to make you feel better, because it releases you from whatever it was that was harming you. Secondly, you're actually doing exactly what the Lord is asking you to do. Because again, Matthew 6:14-15 says this, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Wow. I don't know about you, but I want to be on this side of God. I don't want to be against him. So if I have to forgive somebody, even though it hurts, I'm going to do it, because I want God to know that I am listening and hearing what his Spirit speaks to my heart. Because we've all been united in Christ. Romans 6:4, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that we, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too now live a new life." When Jesus died, he didn't just pay for our sins. He broke the power of sin. Through faith, through our faith, we're united with him in his death. Also in his resurrection. Sin holds over us is now broken. That hold that sin had us is now gone. Grace has set us free. Your identity is no longer rooted in who you were, but who God created you to be. Romans 6:6. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Brothers and sisters, this is good news. Grace is not just a pardon. It's actually power. It gives us power. We are now all called to walk in the newness of life. Grace has created a new beginning. Grace is a fresh start. No matter how deep the sin or how far you fall, grace can always lift us up. Paul reminds us of that, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now works in us. When we've accepted Christ, that Holy Spirit is alive and well in us, and we have to trust that. You know, Deb, you were talking about depression and anxiety. People don't realize that, and like you said, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to deal with it. And that's true. We tend to not put enough trust in him and give it over to him. I used to be the most anxious person. I can remember a trip my wife and I took. We were taking her mom to Stettler, and we were on our way back to Castor. And out of the blue, for no reason at all, I had the worst panic attack, most anxiety I've ever felt. I ended up in a hospital. They do all the tests, the heart rate, all the stuff. Nurses come back and say, Brian, there's nothing wrong with you. It's an anxiety attack. But you know, since I come to Christ, I gave that to him. I gave him all my anxiety. I gave him all the stuff that used to torment me. And honestly, I can say this to this day, and I should be anxious today. I should be a wreck. The old Brian would be a mess. But what he's done for me is he's taken it away. So I am so absolutely blessed that I don't carry that anxiety anymore. I'm freed from it, and that's only through Christ. So, now I've lost my place. Anyway, we must make a choice. Romans 6:11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to Christ. Alive to God in Christ Jesus. Grace doesn't erase our human responsibilities. You know, a lot of people think, well, if I have grace, I'm good. But no, we're still responsible. We must choose daily to live for God. We must count ourselves dead to sin. This is a faith stance, a daily confession who we are in Christ Jesus. Every morning when my beautiful wife wakes up, the first thing out of her mouth is always the same thing. I only have one thing to do today, and that is to follow Jesus. That is such an amazing truth. If we would all do that, if we would just get up every day and say, I only have one thing to do today, and that is to follow Jesus. All of the stuff that usually wears us down, breaks us down, is now we're allowing Jesus to work through us. And we're allowing him to take that from us and give us joy, peace, and comfort through our day. Doesn't mean you're not going to have things happen through the day, because you will. Things are going to happen. But at least if you remind yourself of that, then you'll find the calmness that you require to get you through the day. So we need to offer ourselves to God. Romans 6:13 says this, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those that have been brought from death to life. Grace actually doesn't take something away. It gives us something to live for. We must count ourselves dead to sin. This is a faith stance, a daily confession of who we are in Christ. Grace empowers us to live by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation. For when we live under grace, we no longer live under guilt and shame. Condemnation is the enemy's weapon to keep believers trapped. But Jesus sets us free. The Spirit gives us life. Life is not about trying harder. It's about trusting more. We need to put our trust in God. Too many people throughout their day, they want to do life and they want to try harder to get God to hear them. But actually, he's saying, no, just trust. Trust me. So it's a beautiful thing that if we just turn our lives and just trust him. So God's grace is an active grace. It's not passive. It is not a blanket that hides your sins. It is the power of God at work transforming your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in you or in us, who do not live under or in according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Grace calls us to surrender every day. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. It is the doorway into a life of purpose, power, and transformation. When we live under grace, we walk in freedom, we serve in joy, and we shine the light of Christ to the world around us. Romans 6:14 says this, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." How many of you have actually experienced grace? Oh, not grace, I'm sorry, transformation, the word transformation. How many of you have actually witnessed somebody who's living a transformed life? Somebody you knew before, the way they were, and then after they accepted Christ and you see the difference in their life, what it did to them. I'll tell you a bit of a story about my dad. And for those of you, I know Rita knew my dad. For those of you that knew my dad, he was a miserable, unhappy, selfish individual. Like, he never showed love of any kind to anybody. He was always about himself. And we moved him before he passed away. He had lived in Provost for 16 years. Elaine and I moved him up here. And for 16 years, we were trying to change that. We would go to his place, we'd talk to him, we'd offer to read the Bible to him. I took him books about Jesus. And it was always, no, keep your books. I don't want to hear that. Go away. I don't want to hear about that stuff. It was about 3 days before he died. I was up visiting him in the hospital. And all of a sudden he says to me, "Brian, tell me about this Jesus you keep talking about." So I said, "Oh, sure, absolutely." So then we spent the afternoon. I prayed with him. I talked to him. I read from John. I read from Colossians, Galatians, and shared a lot of different stories about Jesus. And then he said to me, "So you and Elaine are always talking about saved. What does saved mean?" So I shared it with him, told him. And he said, "Well, can I be saved?" And I said, "Absolutely, Dad, you can be saved." So then we prayed together, and I had him do a few things through the Bible, and then we talked. And I said, "There, Dad, now you belong to Jesus." And he looks at me and he goes, "You mean it was that easy?" I said, "Yeah, Dad, it is that easy." And, you know, I left him that day. The next morning, Elaine and I went up to the hospital. I mean, he come to his door. And what do we see? For the first time in my life, I saw a man sitting there with the biggest smile on his face. And he said, this is the cool part. He says to my wife, "Oh, Elaine, thanks for coming to visit me." Now, that doesn't sound like much, except for the 16 years he lived in Provost, he never once called my wife by her first name, ever. He called her Mrs. Kemp, because the way he wanted to control and just show disrespect. So we spent the day with him, and it was a beautiful day. It was amazing to just see the change in him and listen to him talk and listen to him share his stories. And then just as we were about to leave, he said, "Brian, I have one more thing I need to tell you." And I said, "What's that, Dad?" He goes, "I love you, son." Don't do that to me. That was amazing. Because for me and my four brothers and my sister, in my entire life and theirs, our dad never uttered those three words, ever. Ever, ever. So again, before we close, let me just share with you another story. Yeah. How does a transformation life look like? You know, even my own. Elaine knows. I was when we moved here, I worked for an agricultural company, and then we bought a Burger Baron, and I thought I was the king of my world. I was the king. I ruled my life, and I was going to do everything, and I was going to make my wife and me rich, and I was going to do this, I was going to do that. My wife was really sick at the time, and I think God said, you know, basically he's up there going, okay, Brian, you think you're the king of the world? Go for it. And after 8 years, he finally said, no, now it's time. And he slapped me down. And I needed it. He slapped me down and he said, no, now you're going to listen to me. Your life's going to change and it's not going to be the king of the world anymore. I'm your king. And so I surrendered my life to God. And yeah, he's right. I am not the king of my world, but I have a way better world. It's not about money anymore. When I leave this world now, I'm going to be thankful for, number one, the fact that I have a relationship with Christ. Number two, the fact that my greatest gift that he gave me is my wife and my kids, not money, because money means absolutely nothing to me. It's a means, it's not my everything. It's just a means to pay bills and live my life. My wife and my kids are my greatest joy and my greatest gift that I could ask for. So that's what transformed lives do. And I urge you that if you have never accepted Christ into your life, this is the day. This is the day of salvation. You need to just turn your life over to him and say, you know what? I can't do this. I can't be the king. I need you to be my king. But if you're already a believer who's drifted or wandered or a little bit weary, grace is calling you back to surrender and renewal. But if you are walking in Christ, then I just encourage you to just reaffirm that. Reaffirm it. Lord, I offer myself as your living sacrifice. Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, a life of purpose, power, and transformation. That's what he promises you. When we live under grace, we walk in freedom. We serve in joy. We shine, like I said earlier, the light of Christ on the world. It's so beautiful. And I encourage each and every one of you to just really, really, really just move that direction. Move away from what the world promises, because the world will always disappoint. Man disappoints. God never does. So, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. A grace that saves, restores, and transforms. Today, we lay down our burdens at your feet. For those who have never trusted you, Lord, draw them now to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, for those who have wandered, call them back home. For every believer here, strengthen their walk, deepen their surrender. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. May your Spirit empower us to live under grace every day. And in Jesus' name we pray this. And all God's people said, amen. Well, I'm not Chad. That wasn't 40 minutes long. It's short and sweet, but I want you all to just go enjoy your week. And Pastor Wayne Sykes will be here next Sunday to do the service. So I encourage you all to come out and to just shake his hand, welcome him back, and we'll have a great Sunday. Enjoy your week.